This is the generation upon whom the ends of the world are come. This is the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. This is the generation that will know the fulfillment of prophetic word from God. Amen. And I'm glad that I'm part of this generation. Or can you praise Him? Hallelujah! I encourage you to grab your pen, your tablet, grab a hold of a pen and paper, because we are about to take a prophetic journey into God's Word. Amen. If you can go ahead and throw up our initial screen on our PowerPoint slide. Amen. I've made it as easy as I can for you to follow along. And if those of you on the platform, if you want to slip down for tonight's service, that's fine. You may do that. Amen. For a better view. Amen. Why don't we cut our two lights here and here off to give us a little bit more. Amen. I tell you what, there's a spirit of excitement in the air. I want to know, where do we stand? You can turn the purple lights back on, please. I want to know where we stand. The Bible says those who desire to understand, God will give them understanding. I have termed this prelude to the sixth trumpet. Thank you. Revelations 1, verses 9 through 10 tells us, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. Now, even though John was sitting in excruciating pain, even though he'd been boiled in oil and they couldn't kill him, so they took him and threw him on an island and left him to suffer all by himself. Even though he was going through the trial of trials, John still somehow could find a place to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What he saw was a divine blueprint for the revelation of the era. Everyone say era. That the Lord would return. Tonight, we're going to be covering the different trumpets in the Word of God. You find contained in the book of Revelation seven seals, seven vials, and seven trumpets. These are all prophetic timeline pictures that reveal the eras which God will deal with the world and deal with nations. Each era and each instance is not a complete conglomerate worldwide event. Many of them happen in certain areas of the world. They are not a simultaneous, complete event that takes place to the entire population of the world, but they are events nonetheless. Each trumpet is not a literal trumpet sounding in the sky. As each trumpet sounds, only those who have taken time to study God's Word and to search the Scriptures to understand the prophetic revelations of John and Daniel and Matthew 24 and Ezekiel 38 and the different areas of the Scriptures and the Word of God, only those will hear the trumpet, because the trumpet are revelations of the era. Some eras last from 6 to 10 years. They are not merely moments, but they are time frames that God deals with His people. You'll discover that each of the seven vials, of the seven trumpets, and of the seven seals are the exact same duplicate events. But you can look at it broken down in this manner. The trumpets are the middle story. The seals are the long story, so to speak. And each one of the vials is the very, very short story of the same events that are transpiring and taking place. And we'll cover this correlation at a future session. But I want to lay the groundwork to understand what the seven trumpets are. And again, it's not just a trumpet sounding. You see, many people think that when the last trumpet, which is the rapture, sounds, that someone's going to stand back and you're going to hear, dun, and then, no. It's going to be an event. And only those that are looking for His coming will recognize the trumpet sounding. The trumpet sounding. The world will be going on like it normally has. And they'll look around and say, what's going on? Where's this number of crazy Pentecostals down at the Pentecostals of St. Joseph? I got news for you. If you come here on a Sunday evening and this building's empty, then you can have it. You can take it. Because we've gone on to a better place. We've gone on to meet and be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you praise Him? We're going to focus tonight on the seven trumpets. Praise God. For the multimedia, amen. The seven trumpets, that's what we're going to focus on. We'll talk about the vials and we'll talk about the seals at another time. But tonight, we're going to focus on the seven trumpets. Everyone say seven trumpets. Next slide. Verse 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense. They should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints. Let me tell you something. When you got apostolic prayers, you got smoke. You got fire. Hallelujah. It's not some dead, dry, routine, rehearsed prayer. When the prayers of the true saints of God come up, get ready. There's going to be something happening. There's going to be something moving in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. He offered it up with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and threw it down to the earth. Now, I don't know when that throwing down took place, but I got a feeling somewhere around the time when there was an awakening after the 400 years that God didn't deal with the Christian church in the world. Somewhere back in the 1700s and 1800s when itinerant healing evangelists began to spread out across the West and the East and began to go out and preach, I believe somewhere some prayers of the saints began to ascend towards heaven. And somewhere an angel took a censer and threw it down to the earth. And the Bible says there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You see, our problem is we experience all these things with regularity. We look at the newspaper and see another earthquake in Turkey, another earthquake in New Mexico, another earthquake in California, another earthquake in China, and we don't even think about it. Let me tell you something. I wonder what lightning storm that swept through your city was the time when a prayer of a saint finally reached the heavenlies and a censer was cast down to earth to begin the sounding of the trumpets. Understanding the book of Revelation again is seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. All end time events that correspond with each other. It's important you understand this. The first vial, the first seal, and the first trumpet match all the way up until the sixth vial, the seventh seal, and seventh trumpet match. The seventh vial is the wrath of God reserved for the devil and those that don't follow the Lord. Many events happen in localized places. They were not necessarily worldwide events. Now, this is something we must understand as the church. You see, even in this end time, there may be things happening in Africa or Indonesia or China to the church. Honey, the church is a whole lot bigger than 3822 Cook Road. God's church covers a much more vast universe. And there are things that may take place, persecutions that take place to the saints of God that we may never even hear about. And you may wonder, where is this taking place, honey? It's taking place as I speak. I read an article recently where in parts of Africa, every single week that goes by, 4 to 5 Christians are killed for his name's sake. Every week that goes, that'll make its way to our democratic media in America, because we don't care what's going on in little third world countries. All we care about is what's going to affect the oil and the wine of our industry and our wealth. But I got news for you. Trumpets have been sounding ever since about the turn of this century. Seven seals. Long time frame. Everybody say long time frame. Same ending. Seven trumpets. Shorter time frame. Shorter picture. Same, not just mere moments and times, but eras. Everyone say eras. Some covering years. Some covering more than 3 or 4 years. And then finally, the shortest picture of the scripture, the seven vials. Let's look at the very first trumpet that sounded. The first trumpet in the book of Revelations can be found in Revelations 8 and 7. The first angel sounded. Next slide, please. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the hail and fire mingled with blood. Now, notice something. In this scripture, you'll find that during the first trumpet, that a third part of the trees were burnt up. Now, this very trumpet sounding, it has a description here in verse 7. Let's slow down and look at it. First of all, hail and fire mingled with blood, which tells us there was something that took place that refers to blood being shed. But and the actual original translation of this word blood in the Greek is haima, which simply means the seed of life, bloodshed to be shed by violence, to be slain, to be murdered. And it signifies that this trumpet would sound during this time of bloodshed or war. In 1917, World War I, they instituted what was called the Scorched Earth Policy. Part of this trumpet sounding was, first of all, third part of the trees being burned. Secondly, hail and fire mingled with blood. Thirdly, all green grass being burnt up. Now, let me remind you, as we look at these trumpets, it was John the Revelator seeing a vision. He was not living in a modern time like we are. He'd probably never seen something called a bomb or a cluster bomb or a plane strafing the ground with gunfire. And many times the descriptions that John the Revelator give is a description that's based on the time and era he was living in, trying to describe what he was seeing by revelation or vision of God. Next page. It goes on to say that the second... Go back one. This World War I scorched earth policy was something that was instituted at the end of World War I, and it took place in every major war since World War I. What took place was over one-third of all of Europe was burnt. When they would come and defeat an army, the armies would set fire to everything in their path. You can do a research on the scorched earth policy, and you'll find that one-third of all the trees, vegetation, farmlands, grass was completely burned in World War I to keep the enemy they left defeated behind from rebuilding and regathering too quickly and to come back on their flanks and attack and destroy the armies that were conquering and going forward in war. So somewhere around 1917 and World War I, this cannot be proven inconclusively, but I find it mighty unique that he describes a hail and fire mingled with blood. When you're standing on the Isle of Patmos, you've never seen a machine gun. You've never seen things raining down from the sky. You just describe it as hail, something falling from the heaven, fire, and blood. But he said one-third of the trees were burnt. So somewhere around World War I, when the Russians retreated, they set fire to the countryside. And it says in the American World History Book of World Wars that they burned one-third of the ground of Europe during war. 6,000 square miles. 6,000 square miles was burned. My friend, Jesus is coming. Ha! I said, Jesus is coming. You better get ready. The first trumpet has sounded. But then there's a second trumpet. Next slide. The second trumpet is found in Revelations chapter 8 and verse 8. First point of verse 8 was that the second trumpet sounded, and as it were, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the spirits which were... You have skipped something, brother. Help me out here, brother multimedia. Back up. Thank you. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire. Let me tell you something. Here we go again. John, Revelator, all he's describing is what he's seeing. Now, what happened in World War II in 1945? Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, it says the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire. What he was seeing was the atomic nuclear blast. It looked like as that fiery cloud of earth and debris and dust, mushroom cloud, lifting the air, he saw a great mountain burning with fire being cast in the sea. So what sets the stage for the second trumpet is something is going to happen in the middle of the sea. Where is Japan? Is it not an island in the middle of the sea? All he's seeing is right in the middle of the sea. Fire. Atomic mushroom cloud. My friend, Jesus is coming. Next slide. The second trumpet also contains that life in, or the actual Greek translation of this word is on, the seas was struck. And a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now look at the elements of the second trumpet. Third part of the seas became blood. Third part of the creatures in the sea die. Third part of the ships destroyed. Let me read to you from the Book of World's History and tell you what happened during World War II. In World War II, there were 105,127 ships involved in the war. 36,387 of them were destroyed. Guess how many ships that are? Coincidence? Happen chance? Or did the second trumpet sound? Hallelujah. In World War II, 52 million people were killed. That sounds like a lot of blood taking place. Amen. The second trumpet covers a time span from 6 to 7 years. And he saw it. I don't know if John the Revelator saw the entire war, 6 to 7 year span, in just 1 minute. And he could say, all I saw was a great mountain like fire rising out of the sea. I saw a third part of the ships destroyed, and I saw like blood. The seas became blood. They said at Pearl Harbor, when all those ships were sunk, that it took 2 days for the blood to dissipate. My God. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming. Next one. Then we come to the third trumpet. In Revelations 8 and 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Everyone see a lamp? Now, for instance, a kerosene lamp. How many has ever seen a kerosene lamp? How many here has ever used a kerosene lamp? I'm going to show your age here if you lift your hand up. Went out to the shed with a kerosene lamp. And now, what's the element of a kerosene lamp? It's a lamp that has flammable liquid on the inside. Harmless. It's got a little wick. You can open the wick up and light it, and you got light. But if you drop that lamp and it breaks, you can't control what happens on the inside. So, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp. So a great star, like a lamp, like a kerosene lamp. It has something volatile on the inside, but harmless unless broke open. And it fell upon a third part of the waters and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called, now hang on, when God starts naming things, you better stand up and take attention. And the third name of the star is called Wormwood. Everyone say Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So here, we got a great star, like a lamp, kind of like a kerosene lamp. And it falls, and it makes, Wormwood makes water bitter, and many men die. Now, why did God say Wormwood? Why didn't he say Oakwood, Cottonwood, Elmwood? Because if we had a Ukrainian Bible here tonight, and you'd open that Bible to Revelations 8 and verse 11, you know what it would read? It would say, and the name of the star is called Chernobyl. That's the Ukrainian word for Wormwood. You go into an unabridged dictionary and you look up the word Wormwood and you'll see its definition being Chernobyl, a Ukrainian word. Now, under this third star, under the third trumpet, the star called Wormwood was cast into the earth. In 1986, April 26 to be exact, there was an event that took place in the nation of the Ukraine, in a city called Belarusia, before it became part of the broken up Soviet Union. Some Russian scientists decided they were going to do a little experiment. They were waiting until the fuel rods in the nuclear reactor there had become so spent that they had to replace them. And they wanted to do a little experiment, and that was to see what would happen if they brought the energy levels of that entire plant down to very, very low levels, which is very dangerous because the core of the nuclear reactor becomes unstable. And they're going to bring it all the way down because they had inside of that nuclear reactor backup diesel generators, which would supply backup power in the event of a power failure in the nuclear reactor. And they discovered that the turbines that turned inside the nuclear reactor, that even if the reactor's power was shut off, those turbines would continue turning and provide enough power for about 50 seconds. And that's exactly how long it would take for the generators, the diesel generators, to get up to full power to resupply the reactors with the proper power. As they brought this entire system down to very low levels, they reached a place that was very dangerous because when they would bring down the system to low, low levels, it would immediately, because the power was not being demanded of, it would immediately begin to build up incredible pressure and power and steam within the reactor that somewhere had to be dissipated. They brought down all of the power to a very low level, and as they began to bring it down, the control rods, the rods that go into the reactor to control its chain reaction processes, they begin to dip down into the reactor. Then they stop for 9 hours at that point, with this thing sitting there at a very unstable point, while power was being demanded elsewhere. When they resume this, the reactor had become so unstable that these rods, they were so deteriorated that when the reactor got to such a low point, it failed. And the rods remained stuck inside of the reactor. They could not pull them out. And suddenly, there was a tremendous chain reaction. And within 4 seconds, that reactor exploded. Within it, there was a 1,000-pound concrete shell. It shattered that shell. On top of this reactor was a 2 million pound concrete lid. It literally blew this lid into the air off the top of the reactor, and it landed back on top of the reactor, skewed sideways, and immediately it began to throw the atmosphere, nuclear fire, for 3 weeks began to go up into the atmosphere from this nuclear explosion. Later on, a second explosion blasted all this radioactive material inside the nuclear reactor a mile straight from the sky. And it got into the trade winds of Europe. And then suddenly, they can't explain it, but I can explain it. It's called end time prophecy. Suddenly, with no explanation, all the region of Europe into Germany and northern Italy and Sweden and Great Britain, a rainstorm hit. And it rained for almost a week straight, which all this material up in the sky suddenly came rain down. And guess where it went? Into the rivers and into the soil. Ultimately, into the drinking water of that region. As a direct result of this meltdown, 125,000 people died. It said the wormwood would make the waters better. He said, I saw a great... What he was seeing was that lid and that explosion as it popped up in the air and fell like a star. He said, the wormwood, it made the waters better. Chernobyl made the waters better. And then many men would die. It sounds like many men died. Not only did 125,000 people die, over 200 million since then have been experiencing excessive radiation exposure. 200 million! My friend, the third trumpet sounded on April 26, 1986. Some people woke up, read the newspaper, and said, oh my, something happened in the Ukraine. Those poor people. While others woke up and said, wait a second, and got their Bibles out, and got to study, and said, I think the third trumpet just sounded. I think the third trumpet just sounded. We're getting closer to the coming of the Lord. We're getting closer to the second coming of God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's lift our hands to God and praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You don't have time to waste. You don't have time to play around. You don't want to be around here after the church leaves. You don't want to be around and experience what I'm fixing to tell you is going to happen after the rapture takes place. You think you got life hard right now. You think you're living in hell. You haven't seen hell yet until what's to be unleashed on this earth. Hallelujah. Let's go to the fourth trumpet. The fourth trumpet sounds. Within the fourth trumpet, there is contained what is called three woes and the shortening of time. The Bible says the fourth trumpet sounded, angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now this is odd. How can you shorten the day and night by a third? I mean, is the entire universe going to implode upon itself? I mean, when you look at this, you wonder, you scratch your head. Let's keep reading. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. The first four trumpets, he says, woe. But now he's saying, woe, woe, woe. You haven't seen anything yet. Something terrible is fixing to take place when these next trumpets begin to sound. He said, woe, 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 the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels. You ever notice how in the past 15 years, time has just evaporated? We get the computer, and it's supposed to make our lives easier. It's supposed to save time. But all the time spent surfing and looking, yes, someone can do the work of 10 people with a computer. But what you don't get is more time. Yeah, you can do the work of 10 people, but you're working all night. Oh, come on, somebody. Help me out here. You see, we're not living the same day. I hear about elders talking about, oh, in our day, and I'm not dishonoring our elders. But we're living in a whole different time than what people lived back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And, you know, back then, time, pace was a little slower. There's more time. You could have a seven-night revival. But you'll now in this day and time, you're doing good to have a weekend and not be wore out. Because of the rat race, you have to go every single day. And time, you keep wondering, where's time going? Well, I can't even remember the past 7 years. It just flew by. Time is being shortened. Why? You read in Matthew 24, the Lord said that even the elect wouldn't make it lest the time was shortened. Next trumpet. Then the fifth trumpet sounds. In the fifth trumpet, you find a bottomless pit opened, the sun and the air darkened. Now, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Everyone see the bottomless pit? Now, a pit means something is buried within it that's burning. Remember that. And to him, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. Remember that. What color is the smoke that comes from a furnace? Black. Okay? And once again, he's just trying to tell you, this is what I'm seeing. This is the vision I'm seeing. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So now, you've got a star falling. You've got a pit being opened. Something within the pit is burning, and it's causing the sun and the moon to be smitten. In the Kuwaiti war, when Saddam Hussein set over 700 oil wells, which is in the ground, on fire, the black smoke that came up was so thick that at 1.1 million barrels of oil was burning every day. The Jerusalem Post said it was as dark at noontime as it was at midnight. Next slide. As this fires begin to belch, you can't see it very well, but right here, there's a satellite photo of this entire region burning. And you could see it from out of space. Black. Covered. Imagine living 1900 years ago. You're given vision of something happening. Let's stop. Go to the next slide and we're going to come back. And there came out of the smoke locusts. Everyone say locusts. Now, he's just seeing something. He's just trying to describe to you what he's seeing. Locusts upon the earth. What do locusts look like? They're long and they're kind of rectangular. Correct? And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded them they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Remember that? Neither any green thing, neither any tree. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their head. Now, imagine living 1900 years ago. You're given a vision of something coming. It's long. It's like locusts. You can't quite explain it. You don't quite understand what it is. But you try to give a description of it. Go to the next one. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. Now, what's on the end of a scorpion's tail? How does it look? Yeah, curved. All right. In those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee upon him. What he was seeing was a helicopter. He couldn't quite describe it. He knew it was flying, but he couldn't explain it. In Revelation 9 and 7, he explains the shape of these locusts. He says that the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle. Horses are what? Long and rectangular. On their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold. What's spinning above the helicopter? And on their faces were the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of the, meaning something long and shiny. Spinning in a circle like a crown. And there's the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. What was he hearing? Let me help you.
Sounds like a helicopter to me. Hallelujah. And their power was to hurt people. Now, John also said these locusts appeared, they had breastplates of iron, the Bible says. Yet in the cockpit, he saw what? Faces of men. Let's go on. Next slide. Here is a picture of the moon, a literal picture of the moon during the fires in Kuwait. Next slide. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses in the battle. Their heads were crowns of gold. Faces of men. Hair as women. Teeth of lions. Next slide. And they had breastplates as though it were what? Ah. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses going to battle. Let me show you. He stood there and saw, staring him in the face. Next slide. What do you see in the cockpit? Faces of men. A crown. Long like hair. What's on the back of their tail? A stinger. Power to hurt men. My friend, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Let me tell you something. In 1991, George Bush Sr. coined a word called New World Order. I remember when he did that. All right? What is New World Order? An order governed by one government structure. In 1993, when Bill Clinton was inaugurated, he immediately signed away our sovereignty as a nation and placed us under the rule and control of the UN. How many of a man by the name of Michael New? Michael New was a GI. He was court-martialed because he refused to wear the blue colors of the United Nations. He said, I'm an American soldier, and they court-martialed him. Thank God we got a president that's got enough guts to say, I don't care what the world says. We're going to do what's right. Oh, clap your hands anyway. You don't got to agree, but you better thank God you're not living in Indonesia right now. Now, are y'all hot? Who's cold? Who's hot? Oh, help me. Who's cold? Who's hot? Then I'm sorry. I'm going to start putting blankets under your pews like the airplane pilots. You can get your own blanket. Hallelujah. It's hopeless. Now, what I could never resolve was, why did it say, don't hurt the grass? Don't hurt the trees. Only those without the seal of God in their forehead. Not part of this. And I searched the news articles. I searched through all of the Desert Storm and all the different battles. And by the way, this fifth trumpet is still sounding. Everything that's happened in the past 23 days, honey, fifth trumpet. But did you know? In 1991, Operation Desert Storm, and recently Operation Iraq Freedom, was the only two wars, listen to me, the only two wars since World War I that did not put into effect the scorched earth policy. Ooh, my Lord, he's coming. Iraq, my friend, if you didn't realize it, is ancient Babylon. You have three Babylons. You have ancient physical Babylon, you have religious Babylon, and you have governmental Babylon. And the scripture explains all three. But ancient Babylon, the physical location, spawned the spirit of one world government and false worldwide religion. But you'll discover that each area of Babylon in the scriptures is different. Physical Babylon is Iraq. Governmental Babylon is this new world order, this United Nations garbage. Spiritual Babylon, and we'll talk about this, is a false church. It's to see thousands into thinking they're right when they're not. Now, we understand that the grass, how many is with me? Who have I completely lost? Well, good. Hallelujah. So we understand the grass, the trees, is not touched. By commandment of the coalition forces. Where the prophecy states that the locust had power to hurt man for 5 months. It could be that in 1990, September, to February 1991, was the time our troops, Saddam's troops, occupied Kuwait. That's the exact amount of time that Saddam's troops occupied Kuwait and plundered before the United Nations and America stepped in. It could be. Or, again, the fifth trumpet's not a moment in time. It's an era. If the second trumpet lasted 7 years, I don't know how long the fifth trumpet might sound. And it could be biological or nuclear devastation. Phew. I'm enjoying this. Let's look at that locust again. Next slide. There you go. Now imagine. All you've seen is horses and chariots and maybe a catapult or two. And all of a sudden you're standing looking at this. Probably standing with it firing at you. And because their weapon systems looks like it's coming from its tail. He's just describing to you this mighty locust that I saw in the sky. Breastplate of iron. Faces of men. Teeth of lions. How do you explain the feet of lions? How many of you have ever seen an A-10 warthog? Oh, you're on the same page. Fifth trumpet. Now, there's something else with the fifth trumpet I want to show you. Next slide. Verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel. And the Bible says angel. It talks about angelic angel. Demon, fallen angel. Or man. That's the three descriptions of angel in the Word of God. Now, this angel, it says, of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Now, hang on. In the Bible, there are only three angels named. Who knows what they are? Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer was an angel before he fell. So where is this angel? And why? God doesn't say that Gabriel from the Hebrew. No, Gabriel was Gabriel before Hebrew came along. Michael was Michael. But it says in the Hebrew tongue, God uses a human language to refer to the name of this angel. So he must be speaking about not an angel of heaven, but a man. Whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Never say Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Say Apollyon. One war is past. Behold, there come two wars. Woes hereafter. Now, guess what the name Abaddon and Apollyon mean? Destroyer. Listen to this. When Saddam Hussein's mother encountered difficulties in her pregnancy, she had a terrible pregnancy. They said she ripped her hair from her head because of the turmoil and the problem she was having with this child in her womb. She would literally beat with her fist on her stomach because of the turmoil and the pain. The Iraqi doctors told her, you need to abort this child. But with a help with some friends in a small Jewish community in Baghdad, she traveled over to the Jewish area of Baghdad, and there The Jewish community helped her, and Israeli doctors delivered Saddam Hussein. And when she gave birth to that child, she cried out, "Saddam!" Which, guess what that means? An Iraqi destroyer. My God. My God. All this would happen, and your king's name would be Israel. If you read in the Iraqi Bible, guess what it would say? And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Iraqi tongue is Saddam. By the way, that was from the Jerusalem Post. Issue 7, December 13th, 1997, if you want to look it up. Next slide. A king over them whose name is the destroyer. The prophecy states this leader over this army that would cause the sun and the air to be darkened by smoke. What does Saddam Hussein do? He lit all those fires. It would be called the destroyer. My friend, the fifth trumpet is sounding. And it could be. It could be. But this king is Saddam. And Saddam Hussein is now dead and gone. Because you read prophecies. The Lord prophesied that Babylon, ancient Babylon, present day Iraq, would be destroyed. Isaiah 50 and Isaiah 51, both chapters state this destruction. Let me read to you. Excuse me, Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51 says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind." What does the wind do? It moves with swiftness. It swirls. All Arab nations are astonished at the speed by which the coalition forces took the nation of Iraq. Verse 2, "And I will send unto Babylon fanners that would fan through the countryside and shall empty her land." Now, what was the Old Testament written to? The Jewish nation. To God's people. Did you know in 1965, 197,000 Israeli Iraqis lived in Iraq? Jews. But with the onslaught of Saddam Hussein's dictatorship, today, and they may be gone, today only 38 are left. 38. Read USA Today's section on living. About 3 days ago, I got on the news, on the river. Every day I put the newspaper, I see prophecy being fulfilled. What happened? The fanners came. And he said, "You'll empty the land." To your neighbor and say, "Jesus is coming." Now, if, everyone say if the Gulf War in 91 and Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003 is the fifth trumpet, the next trumpet to sound is the sixth trumpet. Under the sixth trumpet, which we're going to read in a moment, Revelations 9, 13 through 16, it states of an army of 200 million that will start a war that will kill a third part of the population. Let's see a third. That means 1, 2, 3. Christine, you're dead. 1, 2, 3. You're dead. 1, 2. You're dead. Next slide. There are notable events that take place. I believe we are in the transition. We are on the eve of the sixth trumpet. And somewhere between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, the Lord's going to take us out of here. We're there, church. It may happen simultaneously. We don't know sixth trumpet will be an era of 10 years. We don't know if it'll be 1 year or 1 month. We don't know. But look at the elements of the sixth trumpet. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Once again, the sixth trumpet correlates with the sixth vial. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. Why? That the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Hang on. Did you know, up to 1990, this wasn't even possible? Let me show you how close we are to the coming of the Lord. In 2001, China stated, how many remember this when they threatened us? They said they have 24 nuclear weapons pointed at the USA and 24 major cities. And they said if we didn't leave them alone in the request to take Taiwan, L.A. would go first. I remember those strong words that were. What's the first thing that George Bush did when he became president? He reinstated the Star Wars system. Because he knew the threat. He knew China could do it any day. They have the ability to wipe out 24 nations in a moment. 24 cities. And they threatened, I'll do it if you don't back down concerning Taiwan. Next slide. But the way of the kings. What's to the east of ancient Babylon? Anyone want to guess? China. Could it be that when the river Euphrates dries up, it makes a way for China to come forward? In 1990, there was something built called the Ataturk Dam. The Ataturk Dam was named after Kemal Ataturk, a Turkish leader who helped modernize Turkey in the 20th century. Next one. Here is a picture of the Ataturk Dam. It's completed, my friend. And did you know in 1991, for several weeks, they completely cut off the Euphrates River. It wasn't astounding. They cut it off to fill a reservoir, proving with the push of one button they can stop the flow of the Euphrates River. It's not something that's out there, my friend. It's upon us. I kept waiting. I kept watching this war thinking, my God, if Turkey pushes that button, we better get ready. The trumpet's going to sound. We're leaving here. And I kept waiting and listening. And it didn't happen. I thought, we're not there yet. The sixth trumpet hasn't sounded. But we're knocking. We're knocking on the door. Next slide. In the sixth trumpet, it says there will be a 200 million man army. Let's read it. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of the men. And the number of the army of horsemen were 200,000. If you take 200 and multiply it by 1,000, you get 200 million men. Mao Tse-tung, the former ruler of China, boasted that he could place 200 million soldiers in battlefield. And that was years ago. Because guess what? Why did he say 200 million? That's the exact number that the way of the kings of the east to be prepared. Next slide. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and then it set on them having breastplates of fire, and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were the heads of lion. What nation is a symbol of a lion? Great Britain. Who controlled Hong Kong, the 10th richest nation in the world, until about 3 years ago? Guess who has it now? It's one of the heads. The lion. Out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three was a third part of the men killed. And by the fire and by the smoke and brimstone that came out. Now here's something he was seeing that's breathing fire. What breathes fire? What's the symbol of China? One in three killed. Next slide, quickly, and move on. I don't want this being up there long. One in three killed. Next slide. One in three. I want it to dawn on you. Wake up! You're sitting here playing around, messing with sin, like you got the rest of your life to live. My friend, we're one event. One event away from the sixth trumpet sounding.